So I'm just excited. So I'm here because I want to be. I'm here because I want to be. I go to small churches. I was just in a place that's very small. I've just scheduled a place. It was one of my last weekends open. I was waiting on a confirmation on a weekend to, and then I'll open up like two more weekends that I have, and I have five things to try to put in 2 weekends, so it's not going to work, but that I really want to go to, but I'm not going to be able to go to all of them because I have 2 slots left just because I was waiting for confirmation on something. But the thing I just filled last week was with a pastor, and he cried and was so excited on the phone. He wasn't making me a hero. He just said, I love your heart. I see Jesus in your life, and we're honored that you would choose us and invest in us and take the time. It was just a very humble, sincere. And I was like, wow, are you kidding? He said, it's just amazing to me that you would come to our church out here in a rural southern country, and we're not that big of a work. I said, you're people, aren't you? You got destiny, don't you? Why's it got to be a big work? Why has it got to be a big work? I mean, if it's, you know, I understand the whole influence thing and the more people, et cetera. But if you just touch, I poured into Todd, and I think Todd has a lot of influence. I think he's doing a lot with the kingdom of God. And you pour into small groups, you just don't know who you just don't know where that can lead. So you never weigh it by size. You always be sincere, give your whole heart, and you trust that that seed's going to hit the mark and grow into something amazing. Amen? So I want you to all see your life that way, okay? Seriously, you don't have to travel and preach like I do. Every day your life can be a message to the heart of a man. Every day your life is a ministry to someone. Every day. You can be going through hardship in your physical body and carry such an amazing attitude and amazing faith and find grace and minister and reach out way beyond your circumstance, and God can reproduce himself through you when he's formed in you. You following me? So don't limit that because of your circumstances, and don't write yourself off because you're waiting for your situation to change. No, you grow into change. And you let God transform you in the face of it all, so that you walk in influence and authority and multiplication of who he is. Really, I would love it. It's not denial. It's not hypo and hyper preaching. I would love it if we at large would just get that and understand that discouragement is a choice through a certain perspective, but it doesn't have to be. We don't have to be discouraged, forlorn, disheartened. We'd never have to grow weary in well-doing. We can run this race worthy of a prize because our eyes are on the right thing. In the midst of it all, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of family members making terrible decisions, we can still live Christ, people. You're not limited by what other people choose to do. You're only limited by what you give yourself to or fail to give yourself to. Are you with me? Come on, the gospel's available. And no matter who wants him and who doesn't want him, you're going to have to answer for what you did with this privilege called life. And please don't use him to get through life. Let him become your life. It's a big difference, guys. He's not our security blanket, and he's not our survival kit. We're not becoming a Christian so life gets better. We're becoming a Christian so we become more like him. So that men see who he is and men get to know him because we had the privilege of meeting him. Yeah? It's just a big deal, guys. You want that kind of fruit on your account when you stand before him. You want that kind of heritage. You want that kind of legacy. You really do. You don't want to stand before him and think you're going to cry and say, you know, I'd have believed if life would have been different. Why didn't you intervene? You know, I'd have believed in you if it wasn't for my spouse. That is going to be frail in that day. You won't even be able to think it. You'll go, oops, and know you were deceived and you let something matter more than what mattered most. So if it's not going to work then, why would you buy time and let it work now? Why would you hide behind something that you know won't stand in that day? Are you okay? You good? Because I'm really happy. I hope you're good. I'm happy right now. Okay. I got to talk about a couple things. Can you go to a fee? No. Okay. Uh-oh. I thought I had to talk about a couple things. You get your gears shifted right in the middle. Go to Colossians. Close enough. Ephesians is good. We could have found something there, I promise. Wow. I want you to see something. I want to talk about Two things I believe in my heart tonight. I think we're going to cover just two things that will be edifying and encouraging and empowering, okay? The just live by faith. The only way we're going to grow in these things and add to our faith and grow in faith is if we continue to maintain a very healthy identity. I'm just going to throw a few thoughts out there and we'll see where this goes, but this is how it feels in my heart right now. Continuing to see yourself the way He sees you and finding your identity through Him and Him alone, finding fullness through Him and Him alone. I promise you this, when I look at the Word, you can't prove to me different at this point. I've been in this thing. I see this thing. I'm very convicted by what I say. I'm not trying to control and power play you right now. There is no other way to find your true identity, value, and who you really are except through Jesus Christ. Yes. We have tried to find our identity through a million other avenues. We have found our value through a million other avenues. We have tried to glean things from others. We have been failed, disappointed, insecure, self-conscious in the process. We have never been complete just when you try to draw yourself this way. It's why men live up and down. So they're as good as people are doing them. And they're usually as strong as the weakness around them. Are you with me? Come on, from little up, we've been in this rat race. Just peer group, peer pressures, fitting in, clicks, getting people to like you, notice you, appreciate you, value you. There's this need that's driving humanity because we're living life apart from Him. And only in Him and only through Him do you really, truly find you. There's no other way to see who you really are except through Jesus Christ. No one even lays a foundation unless it's in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Come on, this is so important because I was never taught this, so I'm trying to find my value through people. So I'm constantly insecure, projecting, trying to get favor, trying to get a good word, trying to get somebody to encourage or say the right thing. Sometimes just trying to get attention, just getting attention will just meet and feed that thing for a minute. You know what I mean? Just getting a laugh, just feed something that's missing. And all of a sudden you live for that moment. You just live for a little affirmation. You just live for a little accolade. You just live for a little attention. And if you don't get that, you're always in question and you're not fulfilled. It's the same as an addict. It's just a different arena. It's the same as an alcoholic. It's just in a different arena. You know, we look at addicts and alcoholics and drug addicts, but a lot of us are living in an emotional place that's the same. It's the same. It's just not using a substance, but it's the same. It's very, very, very important tonight. I believe in my heart, I feel the seriousness on this, to understand and see that nothing was made that wasn't made through Him. So it's only through Him that you'll find the truth of that thing that was made. Are you with me? So if nothing was made that wasn't made through Him, and it was all made with intent and purpose, until you step into that intent and purpose and step into it in Him and through Him, how could you ever walk out what you're truly here for? Did you ever hear people say life is a grind, or life is tough, or life is a bleep or a blank, and throw in a word that's not cool? Right? The only reason life seems that way to people is because they're living it outside of why they're here. So they're not finding grace in their life, so it's a dry place. So there's a lot of labor and toil in that. Why would God empower you and fill your tank to drive down a road you were never created for? Why would God convenience a journey you were never intended to take, called the way you're living your life? The only reason life feels like a challenge to people is because they're not stepping into the purpose of why they woke up each day. Like if you wake up to shine, if you wake up to be loved, you'll be disappointed at some point. If you wake up and need somebody for something, somebody will let you down. And then they'll become your justification for the way you are, who you are, and how you are. And you'll let men and things decide your life. And you'll think you're in control, and you think you're your own person, but everything else is deciding you. And you can only take so much of that. Next thing you know, you can't trust people, you're jaded, you put up walls, you don't let people in, but yet you have this deficit you need, but you don't trust, and now you're, You can tell that's chaos, that's craziness. It has nothing to do with truth. But it's emotionally driven, it's psychologically assessed, but it has nothing to do with why you're here, and none of it is built on the kingdom. Honestly, I'm being bold and raw with you tonight. There is not 1 ounce of truth in that scenario. Why? Because in that scenario, you're finding your identity, your worth, and your value through something outside of Him. He isn't a way. He's not a good idea. He's the way. He's the way. Come on. That's not God controlling us. That's God saying, hey, look, I'm the manufacturer. I made the microwave. Let's just say we're microwaves. I made the microwave, and you shouldn't put metal in it. If you put metal in it, you're going to ruin what I made. Don't put metal in the microwave. But what do? We slip up. We mess up. We leave the fork a little far. Oh! And if you keep doing that, what are you going to do to the microwave? Okay, so here's the gospel now. I made you for my image. I made you for my glory. I made you to manifest my great name so the nations of the world would know who I am through you. If you live for some other reason, if you live for yourself, you're going to hinder the product that I made called your life, and you're never going to fulfill the reason that you're here. Look, this is a shoe. Hey, I like it. It's a starter. It's economical. It's not that expensive, and it looks kind of cool, but it's not a shoe until I put it on and apply it to purpose. It can sit on the shelf for its whole life, and it's never really been a shoe until I slip it on and walk around in it and look semi-cheaply cool in it. Now it's a shoe. It's a keyboard. It's a piano. But it really serves no purpose unless somebody that knows what they're doing with it touches the keys and begins to make music. And now it's walking in its purpose. Guys, we're made for His image. The whole reason you wake up is because mercy wakes you up. Not to try to have a better day and pursue your dreams and use God to make it happen. And run the risk of getting mad and hurt and let down and disappointed and maybe even angry at Him. Come on, it's self-centered delusion. It never was the gospel. It never will be the gospel. Don't believe it. Don't buy into it. If your mentality and your motive isn't producing life, isn't encouraging your heart and others, we're deceived. He gives life and life even more. Come on, it's joy unspeakable. It's good tidings of great joy. We have looked for joy through our circumstances. You find joy in being born again, having new purpose, new value, new meaning, right relationship with God, never being reckoned for your sins, but reckoned for your purpose and your calling, actually being seen as sons and never again an orphan. Come on! All I'm preaching is the kingdom of God. All I'm preaching is Christianity. It's nothing new. It never was new. It was from the beginning. This is what He paid for. This is what He created us for. This is why men are here. We have turned it into a million other things. We have turned it into our preferences, our desires. We've wrote limits on this thing. Sometimes we're only half in and not all the way in. And there's just a lot of things we have done with what's super narrow. Narrow is the way. Look, I'm not trying to make enemies tonight. I don't even know what I'm doing here right now and why it's so sharp like this. But I just hear this in my heart. I hear people say, well, yeah, but I don't feel like, and you don't know how I... Listen, I wonder if it's not about how we feel, if how we feel isn't producing Him. That's right. Wonder if how we feel is a self-centered deception and delusion, and we're just reserving the right to have our own opinion and to think and stuff. Paul said, don't be wise in your own opinion, and then we create social media so we have an opinion platform. Look, your opinion means nothing if it's not producing Him. It doesn't even matter if you're right. If it's not manifesting Him, then you're right for the wrong reason. You can be so busy being so right that you're found wrong.
Come on.
You can be so right about a situation that you hold them to that rightness to where you touch them wrong, like God would never touch them because you're so busy being right and you're so busy making them wrong that you missed righteousness. Now wrong things can never be made right because they're stereotyped wrong. God did not come right wrong. If he came right, we're wrong. He came righteous. He rules his kingdom with a scepter called righteousness. And we bow before him. And he touches us with that scepter and makes us stand before him as if we've never, ever sinned. That's the truth of the gospel. You know what we do? We get touched wrong by each other and never forget it. And use it as our excuse and get hurt and hard and angry and frustrated and spout back and fight back. Come on, your fight isn't people. And your fight isn't the devil. Your fight is the good fight of faith. Your fight is to continue believing who you're created to be and who he paid for you to be and going after that truth till the day he takes you home. Amen. And if you go after anything else, I'm telling you, you go through anything else, you're going to find one day you didn't redeem the times. Yes, the days were evil, but you got swallowed up with the evil instead of chasing after the truth. And all of a sudden, what men weren't helped play a part in what you were. And what men didn't see became your vision when he's the light of the world. Wow. Come on, I don't know why I'm so intense. Am I okay? Yes. I'm not sure why I feel like half a madman right now. It's got to be your fault. It's your fault. You must want this or something because it's raging in me. I can't even calm down. I'm like, the whole time I'm preaching, you have no idea what goes on with me. People are like, well, why do you talk so fast? Well, why do you say, well, you have no idea what I'm going through right now. No, I can't prepare for this. I'm talking 100 miles an hour. I've touched 10 different things in 3 minutes. I am not prepared for this.
Oh, do it. Come on.
It's just, you don't even, he says, as I hear, I speak. Yeah. And I don't even know where. And then these emotions come and this intensity comes. And in my mind, I'm going, really, Lord? This is too much. This is too intense. Whoa, God, we're right out of the gate sharp. We didn't even build up. We didn't even run that thing through the sharpener, buddy. We didn't even, it's just sharp. That's how I feel. I'm up here going, well, I don't even know. But I'm not talking in riddles. And my speech isn't hard to understand. In fact, you can't not hear it unless you choose not to. It's that simple. I am not talking in riddles. There ain't nobody going, what's he trying to say? Nope. It actually locates your heart. And it shows your heart whether you want this or don't. And wouldn't the love of God want to make it that clear? That when a man's done preaching inspired by the Spirit of God, that you're actually located, that you either hear it and want it or you hear it and just don't want it. But you can't say, I can't hear it. It's just too simple and it's too plain. Wouldn't God want to give every man the best opportunity to step in? Wouldn't he want to take off the blinders? Wouldn't he want to take off the veil? Wouldn't he want to cause every man to see so every man's heart can be decided through his response? You have no idea how much I've prayed that way in my life. Father, if you're going to put me in front of crowds, if you're going to have pastors hand me mics and give me the honor of their pulpit, which I don't take lightly. That's not a small thing. He's entrusted to people. And he's entrusting me to those same people. Which means he's trusting my heart is going to steward the grace of God for those people in a productive way. That's a humility thing. That's not, oh, I get to preach. That's God, you better speak, right? Come on, speak through me as if he handed you a mic. When I'm down here kneeling, when I laid out tonight, you know what I'm saying? Father, you know this room, and if Ken handed you a mic in a minute, what would you say? Because you wouldn't have to think about it. It would pour out of your heart. Amen. Let that be the only thing that comes out of my mouth. And then I flip on my mic and go, so it's not my fault. It's either yours or the Lord's. Are you all good?
Yeah.
See, we were so intense and now we're lighthearted and we're laughing. Why? Because he doesn't want you heavy. He doesn't want you burdened. He doesn't want you going, oh, I can't take anymore. So he throws out a little laughing gas, a little Holy Ghost anesthesia. Why? Because the blade's coming. He's in the middle. He's just in the middle of surgery. He might have done half a bypass. And we're doing like quadruple. So he just... That's what's happening right now. So the fact that we're all giggling is very dangerous. Scalpel. Come on, don't you want a message so clear that it locates your want to? That it locates you where you take the blame off of every person in your life? Because I would say to you, why are you letting where people are and aren't matter so much when He's the Lord? Amen. Where did you get the idea? Maybe in church. But where did we get the idea through the Word that He's here to make our lives happen the way we hope? Where did we ever get that idea? Yeah. It's a self-serving gospel. It's not scriptural. You lay down your life and love not your own life unto death. You seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things are added unto you, meaning everything necessary to fulfill why you're here. He's not here to assure you full vats and full barns. He's here to assure you everything to walk in His image and His nature and His purpose. Amen. Come on, I can prove that, so prove that through Scripture in a heartbeat. Let me just throw a couple at you, can I? Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 1. You have exceedingly great and precious promises through which you partake of His divine nature. The promises aren't assuring blessings, full vats, and full barns. The promises are assuring that if you're willing, you'll receive everything in Him to follow Him and manifest Him. Yeah? Predestined, Romans chapter 8. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. It says if you were predestined, it's because you were called. If you were called, you were justified. If you were justified, you were glorified by being filled with His same Spirit, right? And it says, if God, well, it actually says before that, it says, if God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not give us all things? Peter already made clear that all things pertain to life and godliness. How shall He not give us all things through the Son? What's He saying? Is He talking about full vats and barns? Listen, I'm not against full vats and barns. What's troubling me is that that's our goal, not transformation. We're not looking for love to walk in love. We're looking to get gain and provision. Come on, man. If you're not walking in love, you're bankrupt. You have nothing. You can have everything, but if you're not walking in love, you have nothing. Everything that a man searches for, you can have it. Come on, earth without Jesus is one big rat race. There's high life and there's low life. There's mountaintop and there's gutter and there's somewhere in between. Come on, that's how the earth is without the kingdom. It's just a pecking order and it's a rat race. It's the rich, it's the somewhat modest, and it's the poor. John comes and starts making these pronouncements and announcements. Let every mountain be down. Let every valley be lifted up. What's that look like? Whoa. Ain't that something? See, you can be living the American dream. You can get the notoriety. You can be a TV star. You can be a professional athlete. You can have all the lights on you. And you can have people making you their idol and kids following you. But if it's not for the glory of His name, you're going to find out in the end, it was absolutely for nothing and you made it all about you. And in the end, it was a seed that never even fell to the ground. So it never sprung up and could never bear fruit. See, you can win the rat race and be winning what we call the American dream, the pecking order. You can be on the top. You can win a rat race, but the problem is you're still a rat. Like it's all about you. Yeah? Did I just call you a rat? No. What I said is, if you're living life with that intention, you're not winning at all, even if it seems like you're on the top. If your heart's not humbled, if you're not transformed, if you're not waking up for His glory, if you're not taking some of your blessing and gain and riches and pouring it into people that don't have, if you're not manifesting Him and pouring into His kingdom and empowering His cause, well, then you think you're using Him for yourself, for your own gain. I'm telling you, it's only true blessing when it doesn't have you. Yeah? Come on, redeem the times, the days are evil. We got this little window, guys. I talk about this all the time. If you ever hear me preach, you hear me talk about this all the time. You got this little window. It's called life. It's a gift, not a dread. And please don't waste it on opinions and pride and things that won't matter when you stand before Him. Please don't waste it on things that won't matter when you stand before Him. Live it for His great name. And just because everybody around you is acting crazy, you do not have to go crazy. And just because the people around you that are close to you, that are called family, that are blood, don't love you, don't you go unloved. Because they are not the source of love and they are not the source of life. Amen. Don't get that confused. And don't get an identity crisis. And don't get insecure. And don't be a product of what men lack. Be a product of who He is. I'm telling you, this is the way to live, and it's possible, and it's powerful, and it's true freedom. And you can mock what I'm saying, and I'm so convinced that in my heart I'll know that you don't even know what you're mocking. You're speaking out of turn. It's just pride. It's just man's pride. Because if your life isn't multiplying Him, then what are we really going after? In this the Father's well pleased that you bear much fruit. Wonder if we're not thinking walking well-pleasing. Wonder if we're walking, thinking, walking well-blessed. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. Wonder if all in all are getting, we're just trying to get provision, protection, and breakthrough. Oh man, I'm preaching the gospel in your house, buddy. Come on. See, honestly, I'm just going to make a bold, strong statement without judging folks. I'm just talking experience here, personal pastoring for a while. I've never saw anybody with those motives that never changed those motives actually do well, run well, and stay consistent. Life ends up speaking louder than truth. Right. And things matter more than what matters most. And then this becomes the Christian life. This is not the Christian life. The Christian life in the day of the Christian grows brighter and brighter. You grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and you're being transformed into that same image even by the Spirit of the Lord. Or you can just go to church and pray for blessings. Get a little offended at Sister So-and-so. Tell Sister So-and-so how offended you are at Sister So-and-so, and then if it's an unfortunate day, she'll tell you, yeah, I've been feeling that way too. She gets on my nerves too. But man, when the song strikes, holy, holy. And all of a sudden we are marked religious and deceived. Because we're doing things that look like Him and not living in the truth of who He is. Come on, this isn't harsh. This isn't condemning. It's sobering. It's convicting. And I'm telling you, it brings freedom. And until we get free from ourselves, we'll never even know what freedom is. You can sing freedom the rest of your life, but until you deal with self-centered motives, you will never taste the glory and beauty of freedom. How can you be self-centered and be free? Self-centeredness is the platform of fear, frustration, worry, discouragement, anger. Self-centeredness is the birthing place for everything that's not Him. Every list and work of the flesh that we're supposed to put off finds a home in the motive of selfishness. I don't preach this a lot from the pulpit because people nitpick, they sit back and they critically, they don't even listen for God, they listen for what they don't agree with. They did it in Jesus' day. Like, watch this. Don't pride yourself in it and think, you know, well, I'm God's watchman on the wall. Oh, you better regroup. Regroup. Man, I've heard that and I'm like, oh, come on, stop hiding behind a phrase like that. Because their hearts a lot of times are angry, very critical. They'll write you a letter and you can hear hate in the letter. If they knew Jesus, they would. If I'm that off, they would be praying for me and crying because I'm lost. They wouldn't be angry and calling me a devil in disguise. They'd be crying for my soul if they knew Jesus. Yay. Yeah, but you're deceiving people if you're living like that and you're going to hell. Well, every time you live out of conduct and character, you're sending a wrong message. Every time you have tension in your home, every time you shout down your spouse or frustration with your kids, what? Then somebody's just going to have to call you a devil? Better be careful. Because the measure you judge is the measure you'll be judged. I don't even preach this from pulpits. I'm not even sure why I'm taking the risk. Because I'm in yours. Gee, I'm scared. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Bring me comfort. We always say Jesus sinned because he never sinned because he was God. We say Jesus never sinned because he was God. And we say the reason we're always going to sin is because we're not God. So it gives us an excuse to stay the same where we don't have a conviction to address things and don't let grace take us to the highest place possible. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about change. But I want to challenge you with a thought. Pastor's holding my hand because I'm in his pulpit and I'm a little nervous. But it won't go away, so I'll obey it and I'll take the heat later. Why don't we ever say Jesus never sinned because he was totally selfless and sin didn't have no platform in his life? Ooh, that felt good. I can let you go. How do you tempt selfless? How do you anger selfless? How do you hurt selfless? How do you frustrate something that says, when you see me, you see the Father? I only say what he says and I only do what I see him do. When you see me, you're looking at him. Well, it sounds arrogant to religion. For 3 years, truth itself stood in front of them and spoke. And they killed him for what he said. Why? They could never hear what he said because they never heard him for what he said. They heard him for what they didn't agree with. And the ear they heard decided what they heard. The ear they heard with decided what they heard. They never once listened to him to hear God. They already had him stereotyped and all they did was listen to him for what they could criticize. And it was truth himself standing in front of them. And they couldn't hear him. That is sobering. And people will live with a critical spirit, snap judgment, speak out a turn, and have their heart in a way wrong place when they do it. Which means we don't understand the fear of the Lord and we haven't walked very close to him. We're puffed up in our knowledge and we're not manifesting Christ in that arena. Are you with me? Because the wrath of man never ever produces the righteousness of God. But he rules his kingdom in righteousness. So if the wrath of man never produces what he rules his kingdom by, then you having wrath towards others can never be him ever justified. Boy, that's solid. Doesn't he rule his kingdom with the scepter of righteousness? Well, if the wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God and his kingdom revolves in righteousness, so we all have like faith through the righteousness of God in Christ. That's 2 Peter. Then wrath towards people, even the people you don't agree with. Isn't it amazing how every time we disagree, we believe there has to be tensions? Why? Because we have a need to be right. We have a need to be seen right. In our marriages, it's very hard for people to disagree in the home and not have tension. It exposes where we're living from. There's a need to be right. And then we manipulate and power play and try to force agreement. And sometimes a submissive spouse just comes into agreement even if they don't agree. And if the other spouse perceives they don't agree, they're not even cool with their submission because they need agreement. Come on. Isn't it amazing how much tension has evolved in homes because we didn't see the same thing and didn't see eye to eye and didn't have the same agreement on a topic. And you push and you shove and you end up. Paul said, man, when there's schisms like that among you, don't you see you're living straight up carnal and you're serving your flesh? Come on, I got so much scripture on this thing. But it's so easy in today's society to do amazing church and not even think about these things and just let them slip by as normal and everybody's doing it.
Yes.
Well, Jesus ain't. Jesus ain't doing it. And if I don't see him in that arena, I ain't stepping in. If I can't find it in his life, I'm going to challenge it if I see it in mine. If I can't find it in him, I don't want it in me. If I can't take what I'm saying and put it in his mouth and make it fit, then I'm going to get it out of mine. I don't need justification, and I don't need three so-called friends to agree in my moment of pain. I don't need sympathy, and I certainly don't need you to feel sorry for me. I need the truth that sets me free. And if I'm feeling sorry for myself, I wish a friend would stand up and tell me. And if I got a selfish motive burning in me and it's producing a fruit that's not in the kingdom, I wish a friend would just tell me. Yes. And not say, they did what? No wonder you're hurt. I can't believe they did that. Oh, come here. Watch. Let's just pray. God, would you please bring your comfort? And we think that's ministry. Because you prayed. Jesus isn't moving. He's not in the prayer. It's sympathy and feeling sorry for people. He's not going to empower you to stay there if it's not producing the fruits of the kingdom.
Yes.
He's not going to sit there and feel sorry for you. He's going to say, man, get up on your feet. You're more than that. Stop letting what they did decide who you are. Let what I did be a greater truth. Stop letting what they said decide who you are. Let what I said make you solid. He's not going to come and say, oh, I can't believe they did that to you. Come on. If we're that fragile, then we all have a reason to never, ever pursue the image of the Lord. Because somebody crossed the line. Somebody gave me permission. Come on. Not everybody in our lives have always said and done the right thing, huh? But my, have we let it matter. I wonder if we let what he did matter. Watch, this is a simple phrase we say. We don't realize we're doing it. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. I didn't fly here to correct you. I flew here to cheer you on and tell you who you are. And tell you what you never have to give yourself to. I did not come here to spank you, I promise. I have no desire to spank you. That would be messy anyway. I wouldn't want to spank you. Let me go back to this. I'm going to stop where I'm at. I'm going back to this. I'm going to Colossians. I was there a long time ago. You know what's cool? I'm back there now. And you know what? When I look down, it says the exact same thing it said back then. Man, that's refreshing. The word hasn't changed in the last 20 minutes. It's the same. No matter what I'm going through, no matter how I feel, no matter what lying voices are tracking through my mind, no matter what people are implying, I open the book and it's the same. Oh my goodness. I look down, it says the same thing. So I think this will preach. Yay. Uh-oh, now I'm distracted in a good way. Jesus had no trouble with sin because he had no trouble with selfishness. He said, if any of you are going to come after me, Matthew 16, if any of you decide to follow me, then I need something out of you. What I need out of you is deny yourself. Because it's the biggest problem in your life. It's not the devil. It's not your neighbor. It's not your spouse. It's not your boss. It's you living for you when you're made for my image. Why would Jesus say the first thing you need to do to follow him is deny yourself? Because he's selfless. And you'll never live like he lived when you're living for yourself. What's that tell you and me tonight? There's no way possible to be a Christian for yourself. You have to be a Christian for his great name.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian for his great name, your attitude matters. What you portray to others is important to you. How you handle family situations is critical.
And it ain't whatever, and he'll get over it, and she'll get over it. Well, they'll be fine. You know how kids are. Hey, man, back off. Everybody has their moments. No, friend, that's why you have yours. Because you believe that, and you have permission for that, so you'll never be convicted in that, so it'll never change. You all okay? Okay, don't get too super serious on me. Come on, I'm smiling the whole time. Remember, if you kill me, I won't die. Uncock your 9mm, put it back in your pocket. It's not even worth wasting a bullet. Come on, man, we better get a reality on that thing. Wasn't long ago in Texas, some guy just started shooting folks in a service. We better be careful when this kind of stuff breaks out in this country that we just don't fall apart and the highest revelation we have is pick it or something. You better learn how to live in the Spirit and walk in truth and never, ever back off of what you believe. Because it's honestly, it's never about your life. It's about His life in you. And I'm telling you, that's where freedom is. And you listen to some of these third world country stories, they make American Christians angry. Some get mad at God when they listen to martyr stories. Well, when I see, that's what makes me mad about God. Why would He let that happen to a teenager? Why would He let that happen to a child? Why would He let somebody's dad in front of them kids? Why wouldn't God just intervene? He's supposed to have a strong hand and He's all powerful and we sang it tonight, but I'm confused. And why would God? That's an average American Christian mentality snapping off in judgment and presumption. You take that teenager that surrendered his life and didn't back down and compromise, and they're in the presence of the Lord, carrying the legacy for eternity of glory to His name and selfless living. And you get them back on the earth and preach to you for about 10 minutes, you will crawl to the altar crying your eyes out. You get one of those people that gave their life for the kingdom and wouldn't compromise and let them be your preacher. And you think I'm intense. I would be like a little schoolboy, man. Like quiet in a corner compared to that. Yes. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You get that person back and see if they'd have a chance to change their mind. Mm-hmm. They'd say, are you kidding me? I gave my one life for a cause. Mm-hmm. And I heaped hot coals upon the heads of my persecutors.
Yes.
And I showed them what loving your own life and not loving your own life, I mean unto death, really looks like. And I would not compromise. Yeah? Come on, all through your Bible, the tool that the enemy used was your well-being, your life, your well-being, your life, threats to your well-being, threats to your family. Wonder if you caught it all dead to gain the highest thing. Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on, if I'm just waking up for protection today, and that means to me, my family and my home and everything, and that's all my goal is, if anything even looks like it's in jeopardy, I'll fall apart.
Right.
I'm interceding and calling it faith. No, I'm freaked out and afraid.
That's right.
I'm not a Christian for well-being, I promise you. I believe God and I believe in His protection and I believe in a lot of good things. It's not a focus and I don't even pray it out a lot. It's just a position I'm in. I promise you, I'm not a Christian for well-being. I'm a Christian for His image. I'm a Christian to manifest His nature in the midst of whatever it is that we're in the middle of. If that wasn't true, when my wife went through 8 years of identity crisis and wasn't doing well at all and didn't have the capacity to even be a wife unto me because of what she believed, I would have probably fell apart, huh? I'd have probably called Pastor Ken if I knew him and said, dude, you got to pray for me. If she doesn't change soon, I don't know how long I can last. You know, we run thin. We can only take so much, brother. Come on, man, you got to pray. I didn't even know how to think that, let alone ask for prayer for that. And for 8 years, I didn't even know that I would need prayer. For what? I'm not waking up for my wife to love me. I'm waking up to be like Him. And that just dominates. See, I just get flaky when I talk like this, man. It just hits me, man. And I try to contain it. I don't want to flip you out. But it's real to me. It's real to me. I don't need you to love me. Wow! So now I'm finally free to love you. Because it's unconditional. You don't determine it. I see your potential. I see your value. No matter how you're living, you could be a million miles out of conduct, and I'm going to feel more merciful to you, because if you knew who you were, you wouldn't be living that way. So when I go and pray for you, I'm not mad at you. I'm not frustrated. I'm not disgusted. I'm weeping and I'm crying, because if you had any idea who you really were and this privilege that we have in Him in life, you would be living different. I'm going to pray about that. Yeah? I tell people I'm the wrong person to do wrong if you don't want change. Because I won't get mad at you. I don't know how to. I won't hate you. I won't get angry. I won't go into my bedroom and say, God, I'm your child, and I know, and I'm not putting up with it, and you need to knock them off their high horse, and God, you need to come right now, and bam, bam, bam. No, I will weep when you're not looking. Tears will pour down my face for your well-being. Because if you had any clue who you were, you wouldn't have did what you just did. If you knew who He was, you wouldn't have did what you just did. And that should matter more to me than what you did to me if I'm not alive for me. And I'll tell you what will happen. I'll kneel by that bed and I'll cry for you. I won't cry because of you. I'll cry for you. And there's a huge difference. And because of that, love is working faith. And those prayers go to the bowls of incense. You ought to read your Bible. And all of a sudden, heaven hears my tears, because they're for you. They're not because of you. There's a difference. You know what heaven will do? Heaven will hear. Come and get you in the middle of the night. Get you when you ain't even looking, man. Just begin to mess with you and touch you and change you. Why? Because love cried out before the throne for the soul and the sake of another, because love saw the value of that person no matter how they were conducting their life. Why? Because love never fails. So if you don't want change, treat me right. I'm just having fun. You know what I mean? Isn't it awesome that we have this gift in Christ? Yes. Isn't it awesome that the way we grew up and the crazy emotions we all experienced don't ever have to be considered normal, that they can all be transformed and changed through a new motive in life? Isn't it amazing that there's a redemption of your soul, a salvation of your soul, that your mind and your emotions can actually be transformed and 180'd because self turned into selfless? Look, nobody ever was truly angry apart from selfishness. Nobody was ever discouraged apart from selfishness. Nobody was ever overcome with anxiety and fear and worry apart from selfishness. They're married. They go hand in hand. Selfishness bears fruit in this thing right here, this list. Let me say it this way. I say it this way a lot, and it's coming to me now. You'll get this. Everything has children. Everything has children. So if you're selfish, it gives birth to things. If you're selfless, it gives birth to things. If you're discouraged, it gives birth to things. If you weren't discouraged, you wouldn't even be motivated to do what you're doing. But discouragement birthed the desire. So you're doing it, and it's discouragement is the mother. You with me? You know, I've made people stepped out in ministry because they were mad, because they were discouraged, because they felt rejected, because they didn't feel received in their church. So they started, they felt called to the ministry. And what called them to the ministry was a desire that was being birthed through frustration and discouragement. That's why a lot of things that start out with a whole lot of zip and zeal turn into the same thing that they were mad at. Because you become what you judge. Ain't that something? My, oh my. I wanted to talk about a bunch of stuff, and I'm not nowhere near. This isn't fair. You have no idea. I had two good topics in my heart, and we haven't even scratched them. Maybe tomorrow, but probably not. I'm just going to come just to see. I'm coming just to find out. Because I'm on a journey with you. I have no clue what we're doing. When the smoke clears, I'm just trusting it's going to be him.
Yay.
Yay, yay, yay. Okay, good. We can go here. Colossians, for real. For real. No, for real. Chapter 2, for real. Who's laughing at me? I heard that loud and clear. I heard a lot of unbelief in that laugh. Like I'm not going to really do it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to do it just to prove that that's not true. It's so hard. No. Let's start in verse 6. I'm just looking to see where I want to start because it's all so good. Okay. Oh, I love this. Watch. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Okay, so watch right there. This is good. Get this. Don't read quick. Don't just read to read your Bible. Watch. As you therefore have received Christ. Who was here this morning? We talked about just the sinner's prayer and just no real true motive. And watch this. This scripture alone right here is powerful. Watch. As you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. What's it saying? You're not just receiving Him, you're receiving purpose in Him. It doesn't stop when you pray a prayer. It starts. How do you receive Him? By? Yeah? You have to receive Him by faith. The way you received Him, so walk in Him. So what's He saying? You got to walk out your life by faith. The next verse explains that, okay? Is there a way? Do you have somebody that... Is there a way to put these scriptures up there, or is that asking too much too quick? I got a thumbs up. Now I'm going to take stretch you, okay? Do you have New King James Version? Because I don't preach thou'ts, wilt's, not's, and shalt's and all that stuff. It confuses me. So I'll stick with King James, but I just want the new guy. And I never had Holy Spirit rebuke me for reading it, so. So lighten up, people. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're just going to roll, okay? You guys, thank you. Okay, back up a second. We'll start right where we were. As you're there, we'll just do this together and you'll see that it's not just in my Bible. Yay. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Man, this is a commandment. This is like something God's saying, hey, come on, you stepped out in faith, you're saying you believe, now you got to walk something out, the life you're called to, the life you're created for, okay? There's so much purpose in this. So walk in Him. Go ahead, roll with me. Uh-oh. Rooted and built up in Him. In one another?
No.
In Him. That cancels letdown, disappointment, discouragement, and all the psychological things we live by. Being rooted and built up in who? In Him. Remember how I started this? That you only can truly find your identity in Him. You only really know your true value in Him. You only know how you belong and fit in this thing called creative value in Him. Scripture says it plain. Be rooted and built up in Him. What's that look like practically? Every day you keeping your eyes on purpose. Waking up and teaching your heart how to believe and not get caught up in the moment and, wow, I got a lot on my plate and, oh no, I got this and this all before lunch. I'm going to be wiped out. God, if you don't empower me, I'll never make it. And then you call that prayer. No. Father, I thank you for who you are in me. Oh my goodness, my body feels like I could sleep another hour, but I know it's time to get up and I have things in front of me and I thank you for the grace to do everything in front of me. God, my whole heart today is to shine without projecting, to walk in love without projecting. God, I thank you for the work you're doing in my life, the way you're causing me to see the value of others, and just thank you for the grace that's heavy upon my life. I thank you today. I have right standing with you. You're in me. You're willing to live through me and you see me through your Son. I am so humbled and honored to be alive in you. Who knows, that would just be an amazing way to just live your life. As you're heading to the bathroom, as you're looking in the mirror, you're not like, ugh, this is going to take a while. No. You're looking in the mirror and you're like, hey, I see Him in you. Yeah? Hair's all bent. You got some dried up something right here. I see Him in you. Pretty awesome to teach yourself the gospel. to train your heart. I don't care if you got to put colored posters in your bedroom on your mirror. You got to look in that mirror whether you want to or not. You're going to look in that mirror, right? Put a thing right there. Remember who you are! Exclamation point. Teach your heart, train your heart to not yield to the flesh. When you look at that, you'll know why you put it there. You'll know what it means. And as soon as you read it, whoop, conviction. Not, oh, wow, I had to read the note before I even thought of the Lord. When am I going to wake up and think of the Lord without the note? And find some reason to condemn yourself. I wonder if I'm even a Christian. I wonder if I'm even saved. Stop! Guys, some of us, I'm not saying you, some of us have gone to church for years. We know theologically we're born again for years, but we've lived in the flesh. So teach yourself to live in the Spirit. Put a sign on your mirror so you can't see nothing but it. Man, put one on your ceiling. Put one on your rotator fan if that works. Whatever. I don't know how that works, but do something, man. Grab your heart and get your attention. So you put your spiritual shoes on way before you put on your work shoes. Yeah? Now you're looking in the mirror. Man, I can see you're right in the sight of God. Man, when I look at you, friend, you're just brushing your teeth. Dude, you're just thumbing up. Mm. It's cool when you fist bump the mirror. He never plays you. He'll never pull back. He'll never play you, man. Bing. Boom. You can do it all smooth. Boom. He's just right there. Ooh, perfect timing. It's always in sync. Mirror works, man. I've used a mirror. I've walked out of my bedroom ready for the day. Full-length mirror. I've done this more times than I remember. I'll stop and go, whoa, are you kidding me? I'll be like, dude, I see the Spirit of God in you. I'll look right in my eyeballs, dead straight in my eyeballs. Why? Because I don't see the past. I don't see that my dad didn't love me. I don't see that was touched wrong. I don't see that. Look right in my eyeballs. See, man, I see the Spirit of God in you. I understand, sir, that you understand you've been made right in the sight of God. Man, I see the love of God in your eyes. I see His glory in your countenance. I don't even know why you're standing here. The whole world needs what I see in you. Dude, you are going to have an amazing day. Now, you think I'm going to do that and then go out and get offended by something my wife said or didn't say? You think I'm going to get in my car and go meet somebody and somebody going to cut me off in the road or bump in front of me in a line and I'm going to let that steal everything? Not a chance. You with me? Rooted and built up in Him. You're not going to be built up in Him apart from going to Him. Reading about Him is not what He's talking about. Going to Him with everything you're reading about Him. This is going to be convicting, but don't get hurt by it. Be empowered by it. Watch this. How many countless hours do we ride in a car and listen to teaching about Him and listen to songs about Him and never make contact with Him?
Come on. Yes.
And we let knowing about Him take the place of knowing Him. What's your name? Mark, I just met Mark in a parking lot because his wife ran over a sign. No, I'm just kidding. No, she didn't. It was a joke, and I'm just having fun with her. She didn't. It's all his fault. So I'm just having fun with her. So I just met Mark. We don't even know each other. But if we were connected tomorrow, like, and he said, listen, Ken can't take you to the airport. I'm going to have to give you a ride. Is that cool? And I'm like, are you kidding, Mark? It's awesome. Thanks for your service and your humility. I just appreciate it, dude. Would we drive to the airport and not speak? No, because I'm in the car. I don't even know Mark, but I'm just telling you no. But would we do that? Would we drive and not speak? We'd speak. But we drive in the car all the time and don't speak to Jesus at all. But we listen to songs that speak about Him. And they move us, and we're moved by it. We listen to teaching that's teaching about Him. But here's what I've learned that we don't do. I've surveyed. I've asked tons of Christians in my pastoral life. And I've learned that large majority of Christians, without any initiation, without any ministry or any move of the Spirit corporate, have not, when they're all alone, just initiated expression towards God, receiving His love and thanking Him for the way He sees them, loves them, and washed them and made them clean. I've learned that countless Christians have never said on their own, when no one was around, "Thank you for loving me." Way more than have not. Ain't that something? But we do our daily devotion and let that take the place of knowing Him. The whole purpose of the devotion is just a tool to put you in front of Him and put you with Him. So when you're reading your little devotion, you do it with Him. You invite Holy Spirit. You read and you say, "Wow, it's amazing you see me this way. Wow, what a calling. I'm so humble, God, that if you said to let my light so shine, you're the one that lit this thing, and you're the one that will empower it to shine even brighter as I yield to you. Man, I thank you today. Nobody owes me a thing. I am alive to shine, and today is amazing in you. Thank you for the honor of this day." That's communion. That's rooted and built up in Him, established in, watch this. Does it say established in faith or established in the faith? Very interesting. You ought to look into this. Most of the time, faith in the Bible is used with the word "the" in front of it when He's talking about a corporate faith. It's the faith, established in the faith, resisting the devil, standing steadfast in the faith. Romans 3, obedience to the faith. Yeah? What's He talking about? He's talking about a perspective and a mindset that we're all supposed to have of who we've become and why, now that He came, and it should be the unity of the faith. One faith, one mind. Yeah? That right there is a perspective. It's not a tool in your belt to move a mountain. It's not believing for a promotion. It's not faith to be healed. What He's talking about right there, established as you've received Him, be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, the perspective we're all supposed to have of who we are and why, now that He came. That's supposed to be universal. It's all supposed to be the same with all of us. Are you with me? You get it, right? Come here, man, real quick. Do we look anything alike? He's way better looking, all right? He's younger. He's excited. I'm excited. So we got that down, right? But would you mix us up? Would you confuse us? Once you get to know us, would you think He's me and me Him? No way. Why? There's so much diversity right here. There's so much difference about us, but yet He said we can be the same. Why? Because we can both wake up and look like Him. Amen. There's nothing the same about us, really. Features, background, heritage, preferences, age. Yeah, except I like the Yankees. Don't I, Ken? Look at his hat, man. This dude rocks. I knew he was anointed. That's why I called him out. So watch this. So we have a few similarities, but there's so much diversity just right here with two people. And you would never mix us up because we aren't anything alike on the surface. But we can both wake up and look like Him. That's what makes us one. That's what makes us an army. So whether I live in PA and he's down here in Arizona, we both wake up for the same reason, to shine. That's what makes us one. Yay. So in our great diversity, we find true unity. So we're not doing Hitler's thing trying to find uniformity. That was weird and wrong. We're finding true unity. Because in all our differences, we're living for the same reason: His image and His glory. Ain't that something? That's amazing. So you can like it fast and they can like it slow. You can like it loud, they can like it soft. That doesn't mean we can't get along. That doesn't make us so different. I'm 58, right? That's not that old. I don't even know where time went. But when I was 20, 58 was a geezer, man. Like, 58 was the Ancient of Days. Like, 58 was a fossil. And 78 was somebody's great-grandpa. Come on, man. When you're 20, 40 is old. So I'm 58. And you might be 20 and you might be thinking, this white-haired dude, he's been around for a long time. And you might see me as old and you as young, but there's nothing different about us in the kingdom in the sense that I have every privilege that you have and you have every privilege that I have to wake up in the morning and live for the same reason. Ain't that something? So none of that stuff makes us different when we have the faith working in our lives. Are you with me? Now look how we fight in war in the church. Worship teams fighting over things. Ministries fighting over things. People wanting to serve. How come I didn't get a chance? Why didn't they honor me? I've been doing this thing 3 months longer than them. Why did they give them a flower? Come on. Come on, or some kind of something. Just an appreciation. Well, I don't remember me getting appreciated. I worked in 3 ministries and never got nothing. I didn't even get a dandelion. I didn't even get a cactus. I didn't even get an Arizona cactus. You know what I'm telling you is true. It's people get caught up in this thing. It gives us away. Boy, the gospel wants us to get back to the faith. Watch. Look, I can't even get past one line. I'm so messed up, man. There's so much here. I'm only halfway through it. Rooted and built up in Him. You hear it? In Him. And established in the faith as you have been taught. Wow, I got you. You can't say you weren't. The truth is you go to church your whole life and not be taught. And just get caught doing church, a warm sermonette. Little bit of entertainment, keep you focused and happy in coming. Pass the plate and keep the ship on the water.
It's good.
And never be taught.
True.
Can't say you haven't been taught. Mm-mm. I know this is a pretty good guy and I know he's solid in preaching, so I'm sure if you come here, you've been taught this stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're going to give me a mic, you're going to get taught this. As you have been taught. Uh-oh. Abounding in it with, wow, has nothing to do with your circumstances. You're going to abound in this truth with thanksgiving. Why? When you lose your thanksgiving, it's a warning sign that you've turned inward. You're taking life personal. When you're abounding in thanksgiving, you're staying selfless. And your circumstances can't steal your thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, not for everything, in everything, give thanksgiving, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why? Thanksgiving is a statement of selflessness. When you lose your thankfulness, the situation has crossed a line in your heart, and you've internalized it and taken it personal, and you've lost your vision of what to be thankful for. Are you with me? That's why that is tacked on the end of a lot of scriptures. Isn't it? Okay. We can finally go to 8. Thanks for your patience. They're like, man, Jesus is going to come back before this dude gets done. Uh-oh. Beware. Beware. Sounds like a warning. You've seen it on a fence or a front gate. Beware of a dog, right? Beware a dog. You don't just go strolling in. Woo-hoo. Right? Beware. Lest anyone cheat you. Some translations say take you captive or take you plunder or hold you captive. Lest anyone cheat you, plunder you, or take you captive. Who's looking at a Bible and has another translation? Who has captive or plunder? Throw out a word. What's up? What else? Anything different? Okay. Yeah, well, that's coming up. Yeah. What's it say before that? Capture you, cheat you, capture you, take you, plunder, hold you captive. Anybody else have anything else in a translation? I think it's cool. I don't mind looking at translations because it brings out like, whoa. Spoil. Don't let anyone spoil you. Wow. What translation is that? New King. No.
Just King James, sorry.
Oh, King James. Yeah. It wasn't New King. I know New King, my brother. We have met personally.
Distracts or intimidates the
Don't let anyone distract or intimidate you. In other words, get you off course and keep you from going in what you're called to. Somebody else had a hand up. Oh, make a prayer of you. Whoa, that's intense. Huh? Whoa. See? Capture. Take. Right? You hear all these words? We struggle so much with translations. None of those words are doing injustice to what it's saying. They actually help you get the full picture and go, whoa. When you look at a word in Webster's, don't they have five adjectives to describe and make clear one word? Why are we so, why did we get weird over that stuff? Come on, man. Deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you. Watch this. Don't let anyone cheat you through philosophy. Empty deceit. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, watch this, and not according to Christ. Do you see the intensity that I preach with isn't my fault? I've read the Bible and believe it. It's in Christ. You find, if you can't find it in Him, why is it okay in you? If He didn't teach it, where did we learn it? Call no one on earth your teacher. You have one. He's the Christ. If it didn't come from Him, it didn't come at all. Are you with me? Come on, man. Whoever saw Jesus in the Bible? Just the sun comes up and Peter wakes up and he can't find the Lord and they're up on the Mount of Olives and all the disciples there, and it's an amazing setting and having a great prayer time before bed, and he just slept and counted angels and fell asleep or whatever. And he gets up and Jesus is sitting over on a rock on the Mount of Olives and he just looks a little bummed. He just looks a little bummed. And he walks over and says, "Hey Jesus, are you okay this morning? What's up, man?" No, I'm fine, man. I'm fine." "Well, you don't seem yourself. You don't know, man. Listen, I don't even know if you'd understand. Like, you don't even know what it's like to really love people and have a pure heart and come for all the right reasons. And all these people do every day is just try to trick me and trap me and impose on me and declare I'm something I'm not. And honestly, quite frankly, Peter, I'm getting a little fed up with it. You know, a guy just can only take so much. And I don't even know why sometimes, like, God, like, why do you let me hear their thoughts? Their thoughts aren't cool. Like, sometimes it would be good just not to know. I think I'd do better. Like, well, listen, Lord, no, don't you try to preach to me. You don't understand. You're not even in my shoes. Listen, if it bothers you, just pray for me. But I'm not even sure if I'm going out there today. I'm just kind of fed up. I think I need a quiet day. I just need a break from people, man." Anybody ever read that chapter in your Bible? Anybody ever have that language in their mind, heart, and mouth? Anybody ever hear that language? Did we get it from Him? Then where'd we get it? See, if you can't take that language and put it in His mouth and let it fly, if it sounds foolish when you put it in Him, then it ought to sound just as foolish in you, because you're made for His image. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. Did you ever see Jesus? Who's ever been done wrong in the room? Who's ever struggled with being done wrong? Who's ever let it affect them and buy time? Here's why we always have to deal with that. Because not one of us saw Jesus do this. Get halfway to Golgotha with that cross and drop it. And say, "You know what, God? Listen, don't be disappointed. I know I came for this, but look, a guy can only take so much. I mean, enough is enough. I can't get it out of my mind. It's enough they beat me, spit on me. I mean, look what they have done to me. I mean, all I've done is right. All I've done is heal their sick and preach the truth to them and cleanse their lepers. I've raised their dead. And this is what they do to me. Listen, I'm just struggling. I'll tell you what's really got me. This straw that's breaking me is just this Barabbas thing. I can't get over it. Like, he kills a man, I raise the dead, and they want to kill me and release him. He causes conspiracy, and I'm trying to make peace here, and they want to kill me. These people are whacked, man. They don't get it, and I've lost something for them. And if they didn't change yet, they're not going to change. How many miracles do I have to do? I mean, cut me a break. I speak the truth and they kill me for it? Come on, man. Why do we even want to bring them to life? These people are loco, and I'm not dying on the cross. And I'm telling you, if they hit me with one more stick, that's pretty convicting. Now, could you ever picture Jesus having that conversation with God? Why? Because we portray him as different. And sometimes we say, well, Jesus wouldn't say that because he's Jesus, and miss the whole point. Mm-hmm. Jesus wouldn't say that because he's love. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. See, well, Jesus wouldn't do that because he's Jesus. Yeah. No, he's love. What makes him, he's not just special because he's Jesus. He's special because he's love.
Yeah. Right.
Love is what makes him who he is. Mm-hmm. Don't ever miss that. Because if it's just because he was Jesus, you couldn't follow it, and now you have an out. Mm-hmm. And now you're not going to pursue that because you're not that, because you're not the Lord. And that's what religion says. And yet he says, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And greater things, because I go to my Father. John writes in his epistle, if God loved us this way, ought we not love one another? He says, those who love has no cause for stumbling because of his brother, has no reason for offense ever, because he loves. Ain't that something? Beware, lest anyone tell you something different and give you a wisdom that's not according to Christ. Come on, how on point is this stuff right here? Beware, lest you've been taken captive, abducted, cheated, deceived, held prisoner by something outside of true wisdom. 1 Corinthians says that Christ Jesus has become the wisdom of God for us. That the foolishness of God confounds the wisdom and the wise of men. Like, the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom. What does that even mean? Incredible. Next verse. Oh my. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is representing the Godhead when he's functioning on the earth. And in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that amazing? Watch. We have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has flowed from the love of the Father that has introduced us to the fellowship and communion of Holy Spirit. And it's all through him. The Bible says, the Lord is the Spirit. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was Lord. Watch. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What's he doing? Yay! Not confusing. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the... Ain't that something? In him dwells how much fullness? All the fullness. See, when we do water baptism, there's groups out there, there's circles out there that say, Jesus only. If you don't baptize in the name of Jesus, it wasn't legit, you're not even saved, you're not going to heaven. That's what they preach. Because Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So people say, if you did it that way, you're wrong, you're not even saved. They say you're not saved. Because of a technicality. And here's the truth. Paul said, the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What's he acknowledging? The Godhead and the function of all three persons of God. So watch this. When you baptize, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when you baptize in the name of the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, in the person and power of Holy Spirit, and he's the fullness of Godhead bodily, is that the same as in the name of Jesus? Because in the name of Jesus is all three. So they're both the same when it's explained. And then we fight over technicality. It's tragic. I'm like saved for like a while. Born again for a while. changed. My children love me now. They used to walk out of a room when I walked in, and now they're 10 and 5, and I'm saved, and they want to go to the park with Daddy, and my son would follow me around in prayer when he's 5, and it was really fun. He's just a little guy. They don't remember how mean Daddy was. They see how changed Daddy is. I'm telling you, I'm not even messing with you. I would just pray and intercede and walk and pray, and he'd just follow me. I'd lay my hand on him. God would wipe him out on the floor, slain in the spirit, over and over. He'd just fall out on the floor, and he'd just be laying. He'd say, "What is that?" "I don't know, but man, it was fun." I'd just touch me. When I first got saved, I'd go to work. I'd be in my room praying and interceding and fellowshipping. And on a day when everybody was home, I'd call my wife, my 2 kids to the bedroom. I'd stand them in front of the bed and I'd say, "Father, I thank you for my family. You've finally given me the ability and the grace and the eyes to love them and value them. Would you bless my wife? Would you bless my daughter? Would you bless my son?" And they'd all be on the bed. And I'd say, "I just appreciate you, God. Thank you for my family." And I'd just go to work with my whole family wiped out on the bed. All the time. All the time. It's just something we did. So I'm down at the park with my kids, and a guy pulls in, and he runs over, and I says, "Hey, man, we're looking at him." We're like, "Do we know this guy?" I'm thinking I know him just from church or from something. And I don't know if I was pastoring quite yet, but I think I was maybe pastoring, close to pastoring. He runs up, and I said, "Well, hey, man, do we know you? How you doing?" He says, "Hey, no. I just saw you here, and I just stopped." And he just handed me a track. I said, "Oh, bless your heart. You pulled in and stopped to give me a track." He said, "Every soul matters, man. Everybody's important. God bless you, man." And I said, "No, that's amazing." I said, "Listen, 2 years ago or whatever, I told you, my life got transformed. I got born again." He said, "You did?" I said, "I did." He said, "Did you get water baptized?" "What did you say? Did you get water baptized?" I said, "Well, honestly, I don't really tell people this because I wasn't sure if it was legal or if it would fly, but I baptized myself." He said, "Watch." He said, "Did you baptize yourself in the name of Jesus?" I said, "Dude, I'm not even sure. I don't even remember. It was the most intimate, incredible moment. I just was in the water. I committed myself to him. I went under. I was crying. I went under. I was so sincere. When I come up, he met me there, man, like a Holy Spirit midwife. He just took me and presented me to Papa, man. Brand new baby boy, you know. It was amazing." And he said, "But it wasn't in the name of Jesus." I said, "Sir, I'm not even sure the wordage. I just know." He said, "Well, then I'm telling you, you're not saved." I said, "What?" He said, "You only can be baptized in the name of Jesus, sir. If you didn't get baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not saved." I said, "You're kidding me, right? Like, you're coming on this court, basketball court, with me and my kids with a technicality. I think you're doing a good thing. You're handing me a track. It looks like you're doing a good thing, and you're doing a messed up, terrible, awful thing, sir." I said, "You ask my kids right here if I'm born again. You ask them if I'm a new man, if I'm anything like the man I used to be, and if Jesus was the one that transformed my life. Sir, we have a home group every Saturday night. People get rocked, healed, delivered. You ask my children if they've experienced Jesus through their daddy's life." And they're both standing on. And he said, "Sir, I don't care what you justify and what you say. If you didn't get baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not born again." I said, "Sir, you grieve my heart and you make my heart cry." I said, "Please don't hand out tracts to anybody, and please don't put a burden on people's souls like this. I'm sorry I told you you're doing a good thing. What you're doing is very messed up." And we just turned and started playing basketball because he didn't want to talk about it anyway. These things are out there in the name of religion. Wow. Don't you get hurt by them, and don't you ever become them.
That's right.
I've never saw anybody that lived like that convey the heart of God and have anything that anybody would want to follow.
That's right.
And some people that I've met that have the greatest knowledge of the word are mean. Because knowledge has puffed them up.
Yeah.
And their knowledge have taken the place of relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. "For in him dwells how much fullness?" Now this next verse is a good one. "Oh, and you." Uh-oh. "You are." You're not becoming. You're not gonna be. Uh-oh, "you are complete." See, if you see yourself anywhere but in him, You're probably not complete. And you probably have need and deficit, and you need somebody to make up for it and fill the gap. And they're not, and now you're hurt, and people don't love you, and you're not. You see how clear this message is? It's right here. Look, and you are complete in Him. How much more evidence do we need than this scripture bearing witness like three times that we're in Him, we're in Him, we're in Him. And that anything outside of Him isn't what you're created to be, because nothing was made that wasn't made through Him. Are you with me? And who is He that you're complete in? He is the head, the authority of all principality and power. Be pretty good to be in Him. Are you with me? Oh, so fun. What time is it, man? Is it like crazy late? I don't have a watch. It's scary. I was scared to ask. What is it? We started at 6. Not so I go and see, all my life, all my Christian life, I would go to services and they'd start at 6 on a Saturday. And no. Now watch this. This pastor, I'm at this church and they started at 6. He said, now listen, guys, it was Friday night. He said, tomorrow or Saturday morning, he said, now don't forget, tonight is 6. It's not 7 like Friday. It's 6. What time's the service now? 6. And he said, okay. He said, now look, we made it 6. Because we're coming back Sunday morning. We certainly have our Sunday morning church, and not everybody can make it to these special services. We decided we start at 6. It's why I start at 6. We won't get out quite as late because we're coming back again in the morning, and we've done how many services. So we're doing it at 6. I hope it doesn't inconvenience you. But and I'm sitting there going, they start at 6, so we leave an hour early? You mean that's what churches are thinking when they start at 6? All these years I've preached, I've blown that up every time. Yeah. And I was sitting there panicking. I'm like, oh my. All the times they started at 6. And I thought they were giving me an extra hour because I was in town. That's what I thought. So I always took an extra hour and a half. And the guy burst me, man. I stood up, they introduced me, and I went. I said, hey, guys. Like my whole ministry life, I never knew you guys started at 6 to stop an hour early. I have never pulled that off, ever. And they're all like. So I'm not sure, brother, why you started at 6. But I'm scared right now. And that's scary because fear's not even in me, but I am scared right now. No. What time is it? 8?
It's not even 8.
It's 8.
8 o'clock.
It's not even 8.
Yes, it is.
Not even 5 till.
So no, we're going to wrap this thing up, but no. I'll be back tomorrow. We don't have to go all crazy late. And we're going to pray again for the sick. Last night, we prayed for the sick. It was a cool time. I had a couple people tell me that they knew they were healed this morning when they came to church that didn't testify last night, but by morning, they knew they were healed. Isn't that cool? There was actually a lot of people last night that would have testified if we'd have took the time. There was a lot of folks like saying, yay. So I'm just pumped by that. I think we should continue to just pray for the sick always, huh? Yeah. So, wow. This is amazing. Colossians is amazing. I don't know how my Bible went backwards. But I'm sitting here looking down at Colossians 1, and now I feel like we need to back up to about 6 again and start over. Oh my God. It's so good. Like, no, I color code my Bible. So if it's rainbow, it means, whoa, right? Look, the whole page is rainbow. Now, what am I supposed to do as a preacher when I look down and I got this gigantic rainbow the whole way down my page? Yeah, you're thinking you probably ought to read it. Wow. Let's just read something of this. Okay? Oh, Lord, are we good? Can we just read like 7 scriptures and just let it speak without me preaching?
Yes, yes.
Would you guys be down with that?
Yes.
Like when you just read the Bible, it's like, whoa. And I'm just believing there's a grace and an understanding in the room tonight that when I read it, it'll just speak to our hearts without me having to preach, okay? Okay. I'm just asking where to start because I can't start in verse 9 because he says for this reason, so we have to go back to the reason. Okay, verse 3. Let's just start in verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. Let's just read. Let's just see where this goes and then we'll close and we'll pray for each other. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Watch. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Oh, see, I have to preach just a little. Let me just say this and then I'm going to go on and read. But watch this. Did you notice that they pray always for them since they heard of their faith? They don't pray always for them because they're so messed up. They pray always for them because they see their faith, their steadfastness. What they're saying is, I pray that you fulfill purpose because you're on track.
Good.
We always think we pray for everybody that's struggling. Paul's praying for them when he realizes they're on point.
Good. That's a good word.
You can find that in Ephesians too. He says that for this reason, we haven't stopped praying for you because we see how you're living your life and we want you to fulfill what he paid for. He's so full of purpose. Okay, so now I'm going to not interrupt anymore that you got that. No, we're just going to read. I know it seems like I can't do this and I'm not sure, but we're going to try. Oh, this is scary. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard beforehand in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it also is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, which also declared to us, or he also declared to us, your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard this, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Given thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, steadfast and not moved away, grounded and not moved away from the hope of the gospel in which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Do you hear how much purpose is in the gospel? Do you hear how much Christian living is conveyed in one little section of Scripture? That's one little section. I could take you to Romans and go, I could take you to Hebrews late in the chapters. You can go to Ephesians. Purpose, Christian living. We have a far cry from pray to prayer to go to heaven. Heaven has come into us and called us to his purpose. Amen? Amen.
Yay.
When you just read this stuff, it's like, did they have it on the board while I was? They did. Here I was reading through all my colors and, man, I could have just turned around, huh? Can we do one more? And then I'm done. Can you put Colossians 3 verse 1 up there? And we'll just roll with it.
New King James, please.
New King. Not the old King. New Covenant, we're having a new King. Okay, that little word if, I'm just going to preempt this just a little bit and then we're just going to read. We're just going to read. And we're going to let it speak. And I'm not going to preach. I really am. See how I didn't cut myself off there? None of you even said you were proud of me. I was proud that I didn't. No, watch this. That little word if, I just want to preempt this so you don't get confused. He's not challenging your salvation. He's not saying, if you were raised with Christ, prove it by such and such. That little word is a Greek word. It actually means since. It's just a little Greek word that means since you were all raised with Christ. It's not if you were raised with Christ, prove that. Okay? He's saying, since you were raised with Christ, this is our life. Y'all ready? We're just going to read. You're going to roll with me, right? We're just going to roll. Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do. Above all these things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word, in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'll just stop right there.
So good.
Is that powerful or what? Is that a riddle or is that whoa? You could just read the Bible off the wall all day. It's the greatest sermons ever preached. When I local pastored years ago at my home church, my pastor went out of town. He said, "Hey, you're doing Sunday morning." I said, "Okay." Sunday morning early, I woke up and I was thinking about the morning and all the things in my heart. He said, "I want you to preach." He had me read Psalms. What's the big long psalm?
Yeah, 119.
What is it? How many verses is it? It's like crazy. He said, "I want you to read Psalm 119 front to back and just sit down." I mean, I read it with so much grace. I just read it like I was like some professional reader. It was so impressive. Like when I was reading it, I was like, "Lord, this is really cool." Like I didn't stutter one time. It just came out all like, and we were like, we just read the whole, that was my sermon. Just read Psalms 119. It's so powerful. It talks so much about the Word. You saw how powerful this was. Be inspired in this. Why do we do that? Well, it's chock full of truth for one. But here's the other thing. I'm hoping and trusting that it will inspire you to crack open that book and be with Him. And don't read your Bible because you should, because you're a Christian. Read your Bible to know Him.
Yes.
And when you hear stuff like that, agree with it and say, "Wow, that's amazing you see me that way. Thank you that right now sitting here against this headboard, I'm pure, holy, and blameless in your sight and above reproach.
Yes.
God, thank you for washing me clean. My heart surely does care. You have made me alive on the inside." And then you keep reading. "Wow, Lord, I put off these things. Ta, ta, ta. They have nothing to do with who I was created to be. Wow, Lord, right now I say yes to mercy and tender mercies and loving kindness. Yes, God, I thank you. It's easy to bear with one another. No one's getting under my nerves. You under my skin. You gave me new skin. Nobody's getting on my nerves. You gave me new nerves. Thank you, God, for your eyes in me." You could just go on and on. Read, commune. Read, commune. When you come out of that bedroom, the Word's becoming flesh and you look a little more like Him than when you went in. Are you hearing me? It's very, very important. Take communion elements. And don't just do it because it's an ordinance. Let it be a springboard to commune with God. And hold up the bread and believe it's the body and what it paid for, right? Not that it's the literal body. I know the Catholic Church believes that. And you can do that if you want to. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I don't necessarily do that. I hold up the bread to remember everything He paid for till He comes. And I'll hold up the bread and I'll just begin to think about Scripture and His body and what He paid for and what He went through and how He paid the price and that He thought my life was worth redeeming, that His flesh given was worth mine coming alive. And you just, yeah, and it just gets big in you. And then you take it and you kind of like give yourself to Him. And it's like a wedding vow. Like He gives you Himself and you give Him yourself. And then you take the blood and you hold it up. And so that way you're not just doing an ordinance trying to receive a healing, but you're receiving in your soul the understanding and knowledge of God that brings us to the unity of faith where we're not tossed to and fro by the wind of life. Are you with me? Next thing you know, the blood has so much significance and so much power, and now you've communed with God and you've not just remembered Him, you've been with Him. It's so powerful. It's amazing. Yeah? Holy Spirit had me take Ephesians 1 when I got saved and just meditate through it and pray it back to Him and accept and receive everything it said. It would be a cool thing to take Ephesians 1 and just start there as a springboard and just read what it says and just believe it's the truth. Wow, you knew me before I was known. You predestined me before time. I am not an accident. My life is calculated and on purpose. There was a time to be born and here I am. Thank you for your will for my life. Come on, I teach it all the time. People think I'm just being silly, but I'm not. There's 500 million sperm cells in the average release of the male, and you were the one that made it to the egg. Ah! So you're not one in millions, you're one of millions. There's a difference. Millions racing to one goal.
And you won.
Don't say you never won nothing. Yes, you did. You won the most important race of your life. When that gun shot, them babies took off for the goal. And it was you from the foundation of the world. You could have just took your time. They ain't getting in there. That thing is for you. You can just chill all you want. They're up there trying to get in. Saws bent. Drills bent. You just right in. How'd he do that? Because it was me before the foundation of the world, handpicked and selected by God. There's a time to be born, and this is my time.
And then all those millions go wherever they go. But you're where you're called to be.
Don't you tell me you're an accident. Scripture doesn't teach that. Don't you say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. My mom, she was real promiscuous, and she was always in the bars, and we don't even know who my dad is. Why does that dictate your value? Your life, he's the author and giver of life. Not the man your mom slept with. He gives life. Why would you be devalued by that history when Jesus said, call no man on earth your father because you have one and he's in heaven? I look up the word father. You know what it means? To come forth from. Yeah. Call no man on earth your... Don't say you came forth from any man and let your life be limited and regulated and identified through biology and natural means and heritage and right? Because you have one father. That doesn't mean you disrespect and have to disregard it, but you don't label yourself through biological things, through your DNA tree in the natural. You have one father. He's in heaven. So you got to go back to the beginning where God said, let there be light. And then he said, let us make man in our image. So who kicked this thing off? Who started this thing? And who saw you before you were seen? Call no man on earth your father, because you have one, and he's in heaven. Ain't that something? So I'm just flat out done preaching now. Actually, I'll just stop. I'm not done. I'm never done. I had to clarify that. I felt like I just lied
to the body of Christ.
I am not done. It's all right. I'm just stopping.